Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And from a safer distance in... Wow, that threw me with that one. From a safer distance on the bullpen phone, my pal Chris Zook.
Hey, howdy, howdy, howdy.
Oh boy, now he's going to start replicating Brian's hellos.
No, it's all right. It's just, it's weird sometimes because we talk just before we go on, and Brian, you know, he's fired up, and then he gives like kind of a sad trombone kind of hey howdy, you know, and it's like, oh, what happened there? We got to get it going.
Literally just as we started the show, I read that Albert Pujols got DFA'd. So
let's we can start there.
Sure, let's tip a cap and pour one out and all the above, right?
So were you reading the Mark Feinsand article about it or just...
I saw a tweet that said with Pujols DFA, there's no longer any active players from Backyard Baseball 2003. So that's sad boys for me. That was a game that I grew up playing.
Sure. I mean, so Pujols being released doesn't mean it's the end of his career, right? Like,
technically.
Well, no.
Zook, come on.
I would almost bet that I'll say La Russa picks him up or someone picks him up, even the Cardinals just for PR or whatever. He will not go. He's not going to go like this. I don't think so. I think he still wants to finish out the year. I think this would have been his last year, but
this is the
where
final
is he
year.
Playing for the Cardinals and where is he playing for the White Sox?
Oh, I don't know. Tony La Russa doesn't know the rules, so he could put him anywhere.
Okay, let's pump the brakes on that one because we want to get to that topic as well. So the final year of his 10-year deal with the Anaheim. This does actually all include a 10-year, $10 million personal service contract after his playing days are over. But obviously this came about because Shohei Ohtani is locked in as the DH and that does not leave much in the way of at-bats for Pujols.
Oh, he's also hitting 200 or 198
he's also
or something.
Awful, yeah. He might be one of the worst hitters in baseball right now.
I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's tough when you see someone, you know, he's had a 21-year career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, his fifth most home runs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no doubt a Hall of Famer. Yeah, going to finish his career with 87 wins above replacement.
If this is it, right? I mean, what a career, right? But here's the thing. Isn't it almost the way it's not quite the parallel, but it seems similar to kind of Ken Griffey Jr. Amazing start to their career. Like his first 11 years with St. Louis are like it's right up there as the best 10 or 11 years of any start to any career in Major League Baseball. But, you know, he gets injuries, he gets older and stuff. And
how much do you believe the conspiracy about him being older than he says he was?
Oh, about that his age is not what it's seems to be. I gotcha. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I think it's just old age catches up whatever age he is at. I mean, his back got slower, you know, the shift.
Well, I mean, he is listed at 41 years old, right?
So that's think he's about 45?
No. I don't think he's that old. I think it's 3 years.
Oh, well, I'm not that far off then.
I guess that's 44. Fair. But he, what was the quote? He said that he, when he was 13, he hit a home run off of Octavio Dotel when they were kids and they were the same age.
And Dotel would be 44 now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it could be. I mean, that said, is it's an incredible career. I got to see him in Los Angeles for one of the parks I needed to go to, and I think back then I think he was trying to get to 600. I think at that point they were doing the countdown there. So I think it was, you know, he just got into fifth place. Yeah, it's just kind of sad when sort of if this is the end of it. But I mean, that said, is an amazing career. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just crazy. It just sort of, if you see his splits from St. Louis to the Angels, it's night and day. It just reminds me a bit of Griffey, where he was at Seattle and then Cincinnati and then wherever else he's finished up his career. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's still an amazing career. First ballot Hall of Famer.
So Angels GM Perry Minasian quoted in this fine in the Mark Feinsand article as saying that, you know, they've DFA'd him because he has indicated that he is not ready to retire as a player. He had sat over the course of the last week after having been told by Joe Maddon that he would be playing, seeing the majority of playing time this week. Then they made this decision after the game Wednesday. Minasian quoted as saying he's as professional as every player I dealt with, and, you know, no fight, no argument. He expressed his feelings. We expressed ours. You know, I was actually kind of impressed that they managed to keep him for the whole 10 years, right? Like when he signed that deal, there was a lot of question marks around a deal of that length.
And,
you know, whether they would hang on to him for the entirety of it. If he retires now, he leads all major leaguers with 667 home runs, 2,112 RBIs, 3,253 hits, and 2,886 games played.
I think he's got to be done, right? Like, I don't think that there's a single team. So he can't play. He can't play first base anymore.
It's got to be a DH.
His Achilles won't let him. So he has to DH somewhere, right? So I don't mind running down the teams where he could possibly go. He won't go to Boston. We've got a DH in Toronto already. It doesn't make sense for Tampa Bay. The Yankees have a DH. Baltimore, maybe if they want the PR stunt, but again, like you also have to think that like most of these places don't have a lot of fans back in yet. So it's not like he's popping gates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland. No, maybe. White Sox don't have a spot for him, right? Because they've got Mercedes DHing there every single day.
And they're getting good production.
Yeah, but you're missing the Tony La Russa angle on that.
Yeah, but he's not the one that makes roster decisions.
Yeah.
He's not the one going out and signing players, right?
Well, yes, no, I don't know. I mean,
no, there's a GM there. So if he goes to the GM says, I want you to sign Albert Pujols, they go, no.
There's a GM that was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I believe Tom Brady might have had a say this year on who's personnel. Like, I mean, it can't.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different, right? It's a totally different sport.
But if they brought in Tony La Russa, he's not just there just to sit on the bench. Like
he's barely doing that.
Well, okay, but anyways, I'm just saying he's a big fan of Pujols. It could. I'm just saying if he wanted to put his say in there. Even if there's no spot, you know, even just to have Pujols on a team, who knows? I don't know. I mean,
you can make that argument for a lot of teams though, right? Like if you just want the veteran presence, but at the same time, like you're not burning a roster spot, especially on a contending team. for a guy to sit on the bench? Come on, Zouk, you're smarter than that.
It's Albert Pujols. I mean, I don't know. Gordie
Howe played. He hasn't been good in 6 years.
Gordie Howe played at 52. I mean, things.
Well,
you know.
Okay, but Gordie Howe also had a. There was an unspoken agreement in the league during that time that you weren't to touch Gordie Howe. And he played in the 80s when you could walk into 50 points. So, like, let's not pretend that it's the same thing, Zouk. Let's not even close to pretend it's the same thing. No, there's no It's not even close to the same thing.
Hold on, Brian. Hold on. You have your say. Let me have my say here. I'm just going to say that someone might take a chance at Pujols.
I don't see it. I can't see it anywhere. He has put up. He hasn't put up a positive win above wins above replacement total on a season since 2016. And even then, he was barely above replacement level. He hasn't been a league average player since 2014. That's 7 years ago. Seven. It's not happening. Nobody. If there were fans getting into stands, I might see one team who's having a terrible year do it to pop the crowd. Someplace like Colorado or maybe Baltimore,
Texas.
But Texas, but Texas is in the hunt. Texas is only three games back of Oakland right now. They're one game below 500. I hate the Rangers, but they're there, and nobody's wasting a roster spot on Albert Pujols if there's a chance they can make the playoffs.
Well, two out of the three DH spot eligible players for Texas are on the IL right now.
Fair, I guess, but it's not like he's a good hitter. He's put up 77 WRC plus over the last 2 years.
Sure, and change of place might rejuvenate him.
He's
for a
44.
If arguably, who knows, right? I mean,
whatever.
I don't know.
Even if he's 41,
and he's hit five home runs this year, Brian, which is five more than a lot of players have. So,
but that doesn't mean just because he's hitting home runs doesn't mean he's a good hitter. Rugnet Odor had that season where he hit 30 freaking home runs and was still a below average hitter.
So he's a pinch hitter that comes in and he hits a couple taters a little bit, you know?
That's a stupid waste of a roster spot. I'd like to think that most of the GMs in Major League Baseball are smarter than that.
Okay, Brian. Well, you know the answer to that hopefully is a rhetorical question. I mean, come on. I mean,
listen, if somebody is stupid enough to sign Albert Pujols at this point in his career, and I'm not disparaging what he's done, he's a legend. 87 wins above replacement on his entire career. First ballot, maybe undisputed Hall of Famer. Absolute no-brainer. Is washed. Does not deserve to be on a major league roster at this point in time. I'd love to see him come play for the Goldeyes. Albert, come on down. But there shouldn't be a spot on a major league baseball team, and I will roast whatever GM is dumb enough to make that signing.
We'll see. I think someone might take a chance on him.
Well, and I do think, you know, you've got in Texas, there's several people on the aisle. They got third and first base eligible players on the aisle. There's some holes there, and you've got full stadiums.
They've got full crowds. That's the only one. That's the only one that even makes a little modicum of sense. But there's got to be some player in double or triple A or in Japan that you can go get. That's better.
Well, if they come from Japan, they're not going to be able to play anytime soon.
Yeah, they'd have to quarantine or something like that.
I don't think they – do they still have 14-day quarantines in the States?
No, that's another story. I don't know. Hey, there was a no-hitter this week, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There was.
I watched most of it.
I texted you guys about that. Brian was already on.
You texted me saying it was a perfecto, but by that point, apparently it wasn't.
No. It was in the eyes of MLB. I don't know if you know that, Michael. No. They had it on their thing. When I went to the app to look at it, it said perfect on it. So they were...
Zouk is correct about this. It was misleading,
so
and it did say perfect.
Mistakenly called it perfect.
Well, because it was such a weird edge case. I don't know if you saw why it wasn't a perfect game. But
it was the first time ever.
He still ended up facing the minimum number of batters, too.
This is the, yeah. So do you want to explain it? One of the two of you?
Yeah. So, okay. Ahead, so, he struck out,
tell people who it was. They might not know who it was.
John Means, the Baltimore Orioles, threw a no hitter that, kind of almost sort of was a perfect game. He still faced the minimum, 27 batters, but in the third inning, and I got to see this too. He struck out Mariners left fielder Sam Haggerty, but it was a wild pitch. Haggerty swung through it. It was nowhere near the plate. It was a really nice slider. Haggerty swung through it, and ended up reaching first base on the strikeout wild pitch. And then literally the exact next pitch, he got caught stealing. Means didn't allow a hit, didn't allow a walk, didn't hit anybody. And no runner reached on an error either. So like the MLB bot would have just looked at the score and been like, oh yeah, this checks all the boxes. It's a perfect game, but there is still a base runner. So I don't really know. Really know how we should classify this. Well, I would say that's a perfect game because the guy got thrown out.
It's
right?
not perfect because someone got on base. So even though it's technically an out.
How long has that rule been around for?
Oh, it's been around forever, I think, right? About that. I mean, I believe a perfect game is just what it is. It's a perfect game. It's no blemishes on the card at all, right? That, I mean, it's the first, what I read is Elias was saying, the stats gurus there were saying that this is the first no hitter to have that circumstance that he faces the minimum, no hits, no errors, no one hit by a pitch or hit by a bat, a pitch, but then it's just a wild pitch is the only way that it's a blemish on the card, right? And also what I read is it was and Brian, you would know the stat about sort of how they equate. It was the highest pitching game in Baltimore Orioles history with 99 as the score. Does that make sense, Brian? Like what I read about that they
yes.
sort of calculate. Yeah. Because I think like Kerry Wood has the highest of all time, if I'm not mistaken, with his 20 strikeout.
Your game score is how much you contributed to the win, right? And it's basically out of 100,
right? And so I believe today, or when we're taping, it's May 6th. So Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout one hit game was in 98. On this day. So, but yeah, I mean, I caught the last two innings of it and he was dealing. Like
he was
nasty because I think he had 12 strikeouts on top of, you know, the no hits and they just couldn't get anywhere near the ball.
He was mixing his pitches really well. His fastball had a lot of zip to it. His slider was nasty and his changeup was even nastier. And like, he was just unhittable.
So there's two things that
literally,
is one is that he'd never gone past seven innings in his career. So just think about that, about how good he was that day. And I saw it was in the eighth. I don't know who the hitter was, but he did have a loud flyout that looked like it might have broke up the no hitter.
I want to say it was Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, I think it was Kyle Lewis. You're right. And then, but it was on the warning track. It was caught. And other than that, there really wasn't much else. What I saw in the highlights that was, close to, acrobatic, or there's maybe, I think, one other catch maybe in the sixth or something like that. But, you know,
I think
John
I remember
Means,
seeing too that pop fly by Lewis would have been a home run in 27 of the other 28 ball of the other 30 ballparks.
And you know what's crazy is like, I think it was in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
They've had five no hitters over the last 20 or 30 years or something.
Felix threw one.
The last 20 years or something like that. They've had the most.
I think they might have had a combined no-no themselves. And yeah, I think they might have been no hit.
Oh, yeah. And that was the other thing. The Orioles, this was the first complete game no-hitter since 69 with Jim Palmer. And that was the longest stretch of existing teams to have that gap. So good on the Orioles there. They haven't had a lot to cheer of over the last like half a decade or so. And
John Means is great. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's a good pitcher.
No, it was fantastic. It's kind of cool. And I will keep saying that. I'm not too sure why Major League Baseball doesn't have this alert, you know, to send out to people about no hitter.
100% should. Absolutely should. No hitters in perfect games are some of the coolest things that draw in people. The second a guy has a no-no going in, I don't know, would you guys say the fifth or the sixth?
I'd say six. I would say the sixth. 50
it should be bombing out notifications to everybody on their who has the app.
100%, because even though my prediction might come true, I believe I said five would be the no-hitters for the year, so they're already at three. So we're getting there. But it's because those are exciting. I mean, there's only so many that happen, even if we have three so far early in the season, but they're still pretty rare, right? And it's pretty amazing because you, on every pitch in that no-hitter, you're just cheering. I mean, the Seattle fans were cheering for them. They're gonna lose the game. They're down 6-0, right? So you're cheering for the no-hitter. Your team will win tomorrow, whatever, but when are you gonna see a no-hitter in person? Like, well, never
Seattle,
again,
team
right?
might not win tomorrow.
Seattle's not bad this year. They're all right this year. They're so far, you know, it's early, right? But yeah, I mean, just a phenomenal thing. And yeah, I wish they would have that alert all over the place.
We almost had a no-hitter from Jay Happ earlier in the season too, right? So it's just seeming like it's happening more and more. I was talking to my partner about it as it was happening, and I was just like, wow, like you know, it's crazy how close. So, you know, we talked earlier in the year about how so many of these we weren't going to expect perfect games, right? Because more no hitters and less perfect games, because more guys were walking than ever before. And we've been two hit batters and a missed and a strikeout wild pitch away from three perfect games this year. That's crazy.
But and it just goes to why the perfect game is still such a hallowed sort of, you know, event, right? Because I think only 21-ish. I'm not exact. There's it's not that many in 125, 130 years of Major League Baseball. It's pretty crazy. Like, right? The odds of that.
23,
right? So, yeah, and that's counting two in the postseason. So there's only 21 in the regular season, right? You got Don Larson and Halliday did a perfect games in the postseason, right? So, yeah, it's just phenomenal. It's great, and I'm glad, Brian, you got to see most of it, and I saw a little bit at the end there. And
it was
Michael,
awesome.
You'll really see cool. The next one coming up. I'll try and alert you earlier on.
Well, unfortunately, the timing of that game was, like, right in the middle of making supper, so there was no chance of me seeing it. I did really enjoy the piece by Andrew Semin and Sarah Langs, though, on MLB.com with the, like, facts and statistics on the no-hitter. Means is the 12th pitcher since 1901 to face 27 batters in a 9-inning no-hitter without throwing a perfect game.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I'd love to see the rest of that.
So the last to do it was Marlins Edinson Volquez in 2017 against Arizona. He had walked two batters but erased both on double plays.
Oh, there you go.
That was the most recent one. The other thing, he...
what year was that? Sorry.
That was 2017.
Okay, yeah.
He threw only one ball out of 27 pitches on 0-0 counts. So a 96.3% first pitch strike rate.
That was crazy what I saw. That's unbelievable.
So only one pitcher since 2000 has faced at least 25 batters in a game and had a higher first pitch strike rate. And that was Brad Radke of the Twins in 2004.
Radke.
Oh my God, what a name. You want to talk about name, remember some guys.
Oh, Michael Radke. Yeah, you were a big Radke fan, weren't you?
I had to like mention that stat because it involved the Twins. And
yeah, that's Brad the only Radke. Thing good. It's the only good
that's
thing.
That's a definite that guy, right, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah,
he's one of those guys that's like an ace for like a 2 or 3 year stretch. And
oh, he was great in his prime or whatever. He was fantastic. He had that little blip there that he was great for the Twinkies.
Well, Brian, I know you listened to Tipping Pitches.
Yes.
Did you listen to the episode where they had the like thought exercise of like how many perfect games a pitcher would have to pitch?
Yes.
And then never play again to get into the Hall of Fame?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. If you only pitched. So if a guy came in out of nowhere, walked off the street and threw nothing, like, only perfect games. How many perfect games would he have to throw to first win the Cy Young Award, And this is no, like, this is if you took out the minimum rule. So no minimum innings pitched for the Cy Young and no minimum years played for the Hall of Fame. So how many perfect games would you have to pitch in a row in order to win the Cy Young of that year? And how many perfect games in a row would he have to pitch to get into the Hall of Fame?
Okay.
Which is, it's an interesting exercise because, like,
well,
I mean, it's
absurd too. But
it's absurd. It's something you're never ever going to be sure. able to prove, right? Sure. But it's just one of those silly hypotheticals.
How many games would it have been?
Well, they don't. Well, obviously, you don't know for sure, but they seem to think that three would win the Cy Young, and 10 would have 10 would
You'd
make
have
the Hall
to get
of Fame.
To like a double digits to do a Hall of Fame.
I think it would be less to make
the only
Hall
thing
of Fame.
You ever did was five perfect games that was your career. Like the odds of that happening, right? Like, I mean, considering how rare perfectos are.
There are 23 perfect games, right? So if you were responsible for throwing
30% of the perfect games
in
all of history,
you have to be in, right? Right?
Oh, and questionably, you'd get your own like separate display as well as a plaque. Like,
but I mean, like,
Okay, so yeah, this goes to now because I delve into a bit of the other sports sometimes a bit when we do this. But on the Hall of, you're talking about Hall of Fame now, right? This is, they would say, how, what would it constitute to get in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, three perfect games get you the Cy Young, no question.
So no question. Oh. There's a bit of longevity, right? Like, I mean, you're talking about
three perfect games in a row. But,
I don't know. Lightning strikes three times. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, again, this is absurd.
If it was three no hitters, I could understand your argument, but three perfect games.
Especially
if those perfect games come.
So their record is 3-20 or something, but three of the wins would be perfect games.
No,
it would be like the King Felix Cy Young year, right? Like, what did he get, 6 or 9 wins?
Yeah, he didn't get very many wins, and he hit.
And
he
that was over the course of a whole season.
And he did throw a perfect game that year.
Right. That is true. So he got one kind of. His ERA, I think, was very good that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but if you threw three perfect games, your ERA would literally be zero.
Well, no, but what if your other starts were horrible?
No, but that's the whole point.
No, you don't have any starts.
That's the whole point. There's no other starts. You come in, you throw three perfect games, and you walk off the face of the earth. That's it. Your only three starts in a season are three perfect games. Do you win the Cy Young? I think,
Yeah, you win the Cy Young. I don't know if you get a Hall of Fame.
No. Three doesn't get you into the Hall of Fame. I think it's someplace in between 5 and 10.
So
I don't think
absurd.
You need to get all
this
the way
is
to
so absurd.
It is. I think you don't need to get all the way to 10 to make it into the Hall of Fame, but I think 5 is not enough. I think it's 6 or 7. Duke, it's laugh worthy, but it's fun. It's fun to think about.
If we want to keep it on the absurd tip, we do want to mention the Tony La Russa gaffe.
Oh, got it. I mean, you got to give him at least one thing of credit. He at least admitted it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people would just sheepishly say, oh yeah, I knew about that or whatever. Please explain what Tony La Russa admitted to.
So in a game earlier this week, in a move that it basically ended up costing the team the game, he was bringing in Liam Hendricks,
who is the last out of the 9th inning. Am I right about that? Isn't that how that worked?
So how it works, so like in a tie game, then with the new like starting on
second
rule, it's the person who was the last out in the prior inning is the person starting on base. He was trying to do like a couple substitutions to try to line things up, so that he would then have Liam Hendricks pitching, but screwed it up thinking Hendricks had to be the person on base. Hendricks did not actually have to be on base. It could have been, I think, Andrew Vaughn was the guy who had recorded.
I think because if it's a pitcher, the rule is you don't have to have the pitcher. You can put the last person before the pitcher or something like that.
Right.
Right.
And so then because they had a pitcher on second and through like a series of, I mean, subsequent bad plays, right? Like, I mean, there was, you know, a bad decision in terms of base running, and you've got a guy who ends up on third and represents the winning run, but they don't want to risk his health with a collision at the plate or something. So they're not doing a bunt play. They're trying to, you know, hit it out of the infield, and they end up, you know, wasting him. Like, right, he like stalls out on the bases. They didn't have to have him out there. And then Hendricks was a bit kind of out of sorts when he actually took the mound in the bottom of the inning, and then ended up losing the game. And
a reporter, if I'm not mistaken, told
informed him of the rule. Yeah.
After the game, and said, asked him, why did you do know that? More than I do on this rule.
You'd think that she would have hired someone who, you know, at least knew or had somebody in the dugout that could help him with this kind of nonsense.
To his credit, not the only manager making kind of boneheaded rules related plays this week. Joe Girardi ended up handing in a scorecard, or rather a lineup to begin the game that wasn't official because they had a player who had been sent down.
Here's what I don't get, and I'm gonna go a little Brian on this one here. I won't go like Pools like crazy, but I'm gonna go a little bit crazy. In 2021, we have apps, we have a staff of about 1,000 people on some of these teams. How is this happening?
Well,
how
the thing is,
someone, I agree with how is not literally 20 people are vetting this lineup before it gets handed in?
So it's not a physically like written out lineup card. So it wasn't like Joe Girardi put the wrong name down.
Okay. He was just
an app-based problem.
Oh, okay.
As I read it on the Athletic, so it basically autofills with the active roster, and then if they make any changes, then it sends it to the opposing team's manager and to the umpire's office before the game. And it's time stamped as to, you know, like which one you're going to work off of. And obviously with the assumption that the most recently printed or posted one is the one that you're going to work with. However, because the team had made a move, a personnel move in the interim, I guess they had not submitted the proper or updated version.
Oh man.
But it's still, I mean, my point still stands here.
And this is the fourth time it's happened since last year when this new rule was put in place. Because they put this in place so that there would be no physical handing of cards.
Okay. That makes sense.
Produce like COVID contact.
Okay. But it still is ridiculous. Like someone,
yeah, it's still ridiculous.
Like let's be honest here.
And Girardi did own this one too. He said, you know, like sure. I look at the card all like I should have spotted it.
Well, exactly. But also shouldn't six other people spot this? Like, I mean, we all play fantasy baseball. We check our baseball lineups like 20 times a day. If you're doing
daily,
but
we still make mistakes. But the thing is we're not getting paid millions of dollars to do it.
Exactly. Right. And yeah, if it's on us, it's, you know, you're whatever, right. You lose one day or whatever. You're not literally, you know, costing your team. And well, what happens with that then? Is it's an out or they just lose, like
they lose that roster spot.
Oh, right. Exactly. Well, yeah, that's stupid. Right. So yeah, good on, you know, this poor one out for bad managing.
Sure enough.
I always love bad managing. It's so much fun.
It is.
Why great. Do you think I enjoyed all those years with Gibby?
Well, there you go. Oh, shoot. I believe I read somewhere that you can actually get Gibby on one of those apps now
for
celebrities.
Yes.
Like you can get him to do or something.
It's on
Cameo or
it's on Memo, like which is I think the Canadian version of Cameo.
Right.
Is that like the metric version?
That's funny.
We go here, let me just say this. I want to tip a cap.
You can get Gibby for $60.
Oh, well, there you go.
A bargain.
$50 in American, I guess, right? So I just wanted to say tip the cap to Willie Mays. 90th birthday is on May 6th. And last week, Brian was asking for songs. So I sent this to you guys. Maybe you can put this up on Twitter there. There was a great ABC article today of all places about Willie Mays songs. And a couple of them were, there's this one called The Baseball Project has Sometimes I Dream of Willie Mays.
Yeah.
Talking Baseball, that's a classic one by Tony Cashman. That's the one from The Simpsons. And also actually Run DMC has What's Next, and the Wu-Tang Clan has For Heaven's Sakes, and also the
Pandemic is temporary, Wu-Tang is forever.
You got it. And then I think it's the Treviers or the Treniers Say Hey Willie Mays song. There's an official Willie Mays song in the 50s that was done. So 90 years young Willie Mays, and I think the San Francisco Giants did a foundation for Black students who are in high school and college to kind of give them a scholarship and also some tutorial and some leadership and a great initiative by the Giants there. And Willie Mays still kicking at 90 years old.
One last thing before we go, pour it out for the Gold Eyes playing in Winnipeg.
Oh, no.
Announced
Is
today.
This official?
They posted earlier today, due to the ongoing closure of the Canada-US border, the Gold Eyes home opener, originally scheduled for May 21st, has been postponed to a later date. The Gold Eyes will play their regularly scheduled home games at the ballpark at Jackson in Jackson, Tennessee, home of the Jackson Generals. They will assess a return to Winnipeg as progress is made towards reopening the border.
Maybe a little bit adventurous on that. And also, actually, Brian, you know this, is the Blue Jays are going to Buffalo on June 1.
Yeah, they are.
No more Dunedin. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. It's different. I mean, the ballpark in Buffalo.
It's a hitter's ballpark more in Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be okay. I think weather-wise, I mean, that's why they're doing it, right? Because it's getting into like the rain and monsoon season, and it's getting.
Well, it's also, I think it'll be 120 degrees.
Way too hot to play baseball in Florida. So
I will say this also, Brian. I will eat a little bit of crow. George Springer, let's pour one out. His career has lasted four games so far.
Came back too early.
Yeah. Oh, I think we all knew that, but the Jays try to get the $100 million.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we all knew it, Mr. Christmas,
hey,
it'll be a
right.
2 week injury. Springer.
I was right. I actually was right. He got back in the lineup. He did
not
get
for
on
opening
the field.
Day.
No, I didn't say opening day. I did not say opening day. I said it wasn't going to be.
Mike,
no, you're
tape.
Looking back. I did not
had to delete
day.
Some of that tape. So
I did not. I did not say opening day. But anyways, Springer will be out a little bit longer there, and the Jays have 1,000 more injuries. So it'll be interesting if they can stay.
The thing is, the Jays are still doing pretty okay.
Yeah, they're hanging on, right? I mean, I can't say the same for your Twinkies there, Michael. I'd like to pour one out there that their bullpen is disastrous. And a crazy stat, they are 0-7 in extra innings so far this year. That's pretty hard to imagine. Oof. You would think one time, like you got a man on second, somewhere you could stumble through. Like late today, they screwed it up again, and they couldn't even get one run to tie the game in the 10th. So 0-7. So if you even get half those wins, you're in a better shape. But somewhere it'll even out, hopefully.
Not to cut you off while you're talking about the terrible Twins, but we do have to wrap it up.
We'll do that.
Of course.
What's all going on the pity party real quick?
Real quick.
Real
quick. Jeez. I don't know yet. So listen to the show.
Listen to the show. 1 o'clock.
Great. That is great advertising. Just listen to the show.
There you go. 1 o'clock. In the meantime.
Hey, everybody, we're going to play ball.
Oh, Jesus.
Strike three. You're out.